Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It's time for the Rundown with Rob Sanders.
Well, we're waiting.
Welcome into the Rundown. It is the Friday edition here on Fox Sports Radio 1400 around the world on the iHeartRadio app. Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you joining us today. As always, it's this is what I want to do when I was a kid. The fact that I get to get on the radio every day and talk about sports just makes me happy. It really does. All right, so I've got a lot of stuff that I want to go over today, including... Tyler Crowder is going to join us in a little while. We're going to talk about the NFL and how it really is the not-for-long league. We'll get into that. I put these out the other day. I did my betting picks for the UFC. And ladies and gentlemen, if you were somewhere where you could place a bet and you used my three picks, you would have gotten I had three picks, and I was at 100%. So there you go. Not to toot my own horn, but apparently I threw the darts correctly that day. All right, so there's that. I've also got some DraftKings notes for Darlington this weekend, because we actually are going to have a race at Darlington this weekend, ladies and gentlemen. That's going to be, you know, even if you aren't the NASCAR fan, people are going to be jacked about that. But my lead story today, this weekend we're going to have The Last Dance, the last weekend of The Last Dance with the Michael Jordan documentary on ESPN. And one of the big things that they talk about is one of the focus will be on the series with the Utah Jazz. And what's so interesting about that is probably one of the greatest smack talk lines in the history of mankind was in that game. And I'll tell you why. It's game one of that series. And Karl Malone, who had just won the MVP of the league over Michael Jordan, and of course, Jordan was not happy about that. But Karl Malone steps up to the line, and he has a chance to basically put a dent into the Chicago Bulls in game one, giving the Jazz a chance to steal game one. And, you know, hey, you know how that series went. So, with that, he steps up to the line, and quite possibly the greatest piece of smack talk ever uttered to anyone was from Scottie Pippen. It wasn't Michael Jordan. You know, we've heard so much about Michael Jordan and everything that he said. But Scottie Pippen says he just whispered in his ear, "The mailman doesn't deliver on Sundays." What a great smack talk line that is. You know, you look at it from that perspective, and it's like, wow, how harsh is that? When you really stop and look at it, though, I mean, that is tough. That is a great, great smack talk line. So I thought today maybe we could talk a little bit about some of the great smack talk of all time. And I think that's part of the game. I really do. I think some people are better at it than others. But sometimes some of the lines that come out are just great. I thought we'd go over a couple of those today. Some of them are really brutal. Some of them I can't play on the air. But I've got a couple that I thought I would throw at you, just kind of taking a trip back in memory lane here on a Friday. You know, why not start with Mike Tyson? When I look at Mike Tyson, I think about he would say such crazy, crazy stuff all the time. But he was talking about Lennox Lewis after he had a knockout win against Luz Severisi. I wish I could remember how to pronounce that guy's name. But Tyson says, quote, "I will eat your children." Wow. That is a brutal, brutal line that Mike Tyson came with. And then we can move on here. Tyson was always saying some crazy stuff. Let's see here. I've got a couple other ones. Oh, Shaq calling the Sacramento Kings the Sacramento... I'm not too worried about the Sacramento Queens. Yes. Playing a little havoc there with their names as Shaq doesn't care across the board. We've also got a couple of other lines. Terrell Owens, he would constantly rip his quarterbacks. Conor McGregor actually said this. I found this earlier, and normally you can't find a Conor McGregor line where he's not dropping F-bombs or whatever. But Conor McGregor, in his fight with Floyd Mayweather, which, you know, I don't like Floyd Mayweather either, but Conor McGregor said this.
"Carrying a school bag on stage. What are you doing with a school bag on stage? You can't even read."
He told Floyd Mayweather, "Man, you can't even read. Can't even read. Wow, that's brutal." I look at that, though, and I mean, you watch that and you're laughing. You also have Richard Sherman telling Michael Crabtree, "I'm the best corner in the league." Let's not forget Bill Belichick. Normally, Bill Belichick gives you absolutely no nothing as far as information. He just doesn't do it. But Bill Belichick, talking about Freddie Mitchell, saying, quote, "All he does is talk. He's terrible, and you can print that. I was happy when he was in the game." He told a head coach says you're terrible. Wow, that's not like Saturday morning games at the Y. Michael Jordan told Muggsy Bogues, "Shoot it, you blanking midget." Of course, Bogues is what, 5'3"? Yeah, Michael Jordan had to pick on Muggsy Bogues. He's a foot and a half taller than he is. Of course, we mentioned Scottie Pippen. And then Muhammad Ali had some great trash-talking lines as well. What's your favorite trash-talk line that you remember? The Scottie Pippen one, you know, I remember hearing about it, but then it's just one of those ones that you look at it and you're like, oh, okay. But now you look back on it. And especially with Karl Malone, because Karl Malone, when he first got into the NBA, he was pretty terrible from the line. But he ended up working himself up to be a better free throw shooter. But Karl Malone steps up, has Scottie Pippen say that to him. And of course, the rest is history. We'll take calls this afternoon on your favorite bit of sports talk trash at 803-978-1832. 803-978-1832 is the number to call. If you want to join us on the rundown this afternoon, you know, Jordan, of course, ran his mouth a good bit, but you also had several other guys that could really talk trash. Kevin Garnett was outstanding with the stuff that he would say. So we'll take calls on that this afternoon, 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832 is the number to call if you want to get involved with the rundown this afternoon. A couple other things I wanted to get into today. You know, you remember a little while back we were talking about the NCAA, where it was under consideration to have where you could come in and transfer one time without penalty. Now, a couple of months ago, it seemed like that was going to go through. But then we had everything that's happened with the coronavirus. And you think about it from this perspective. Can you imagine if the NCAA would have gotten that approved before March the 13th? If you're in the Pac-12 and, you know, there's talk that that conference may not be able to play football this year simply because of the way that the government setup is. But if that had happened, everyone that's in the Pac-12, you can bet, would have been going somewhere else to try to play. You could have had guys going from, you know, from out there, from Southern Cal, saying, hey, I want to go to Clemson. You know, one of the big, you can make an argument that one of the areas that Clemson may have a question mark in is on the offensive line with some extra depth. You know, they could definitely use that after they lost every one of their starters last year with the exception of, the left tackle. So the idea that Clemson could benefit from that is not that far-fetched. Or they could go to other schools. They could go to Texas. They could go to wherever. Name your Power 5 school that you want, and there'd be an influx of talent across the board that could theoretically transfer, and the NCAA couldn't do anything about it. That's why it was interesting that it wasn't really interesting. It was the NCAA basically said, yeah, we're not going to do that right now. I think they should go back, though, and put that rule in. Not because I want everybody transferring from the Pac-12, but for the guys that are already in the transfer portal, which the NCAA has admitted they have so many guys in the transfer portal right now, it's going to be hard to give out to determine who needs a waiver and who doesn't. But you can do this, the NCAA folks, which I know they listen to the show because, you know, I bash them on a regular basis. They love to hear people rip them to shreds. With the NCAA, though, the way that you break that down is very simple. If you were in the transfer portal before March 13th, you can transfer. If not, well, sorry. That's kind of the way that it would be. But wouldn't it be interesting to step back into the circle a little bit there and say, you know what? If this had happened, think of all the talent. I mean, you could literally, I would say the first string for pretty much every school that's out there could transfer and go somewhere else. What a crazy football time that would be. And it would be literally free agency. That's basically what it would be. You know, Paul Feinbaum was on ESPN's Get Up yesterday, and I want to play a piece of this real quick. Because some of what Feinbaum is saying here is making some sense.
So the politics of the West Coast are really different than they are in the Deep South, the Midwest, and some other parts of the country. So you have politics playing a role out there with the mayor of Los Angeles saying the stay-at-home order is in effect for a couple more months. You have the chancellor of the California state system saying no dice. They're really in a very awkward position. Southern Cal can't get up and start practicing if you can't leave. So I think Bobby is correct. I think the Pac-12's only hope of being part of the college football situation this fall is if the rest of college football starts late and gives them a chance to catch up.
I understand that maybe we're a little bit ahead of it here, but if we were to see something like that happen, what would that mean in the big picture for college football as we know it?
I think it's free agency, Greeny, and I think it's probably already going on. If you're sitting down there at Clemson or Alabama or Florida or Georgia or Michigan and you're thinking, I've got a shot at picking off some of the better players in the country, you are going to do it. And it's not like the Pac-12 was healthy anyway. I mean, this program is already a mess. It barely shows up on the radar screen. Last year, Oregon and Utah had a shot, and they both lost late in the season. I think they've only been to the college football playoff twice. So this is a conference that really can't afford to miss this season. But right now, based on what everyone's saying, they're in big danger, and players exiting is the worst possible thing.
Yeah, there you go. Lots of guys could be on the move if that transfer rule would have been put into effect, but it hasn't. But you know what? I still think there's
Lucky Land Casino asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
There's going to be a ton of guys that are going to transfer anyway. And the other breakdown of this, too. I know we've talked about All right. Well, there's a lot of the, especially the ACC and the SEC have put out there, hey, we're going to have our season, and that's fine. But let's say that they extend the season and they end up playing in the spring. What's going to happen to a lot of these guys that are in their junior years? You think they're going to play? I'd say no. No, absolutely not. Why would you bother to play if you're going to have to do the grind of the college football schedule and get ready for the combine for the NFL all in the same, you know, same little stretch there? That's going to be a mess, in my opinion. You're also going to have, basically, if they did do it in the spring, you're going to have two college football seasons in the period of about 8 months. That, my friends, is a mess. An absolute mess. We'll take your calls this afternoon. 803-978-1832. 803-978-1832 is the number to call. If you want to join us on the rundown this afternoon, you know something else that's out there? Notre Dame, an independent school. What's going to be the deal with Notre Dame? They're going to have to figure out and get teams to schedule them. And get on other teams' schedules. I don't know if that's going to happen or not. I mean, I guess in theory they could play. What's the other independent teams? I think Army's an independent. It's going to be a mess either way for Notre Dame. The more and more you look at it, though, and I think we'll know more by the middle of June. In fact, I'm going with June 15th. That's going to be my day where it's going to be like, all right, that's going to be kind of the drop-dead date, in my opinion. We're going to know everything. I think we'll have at least a sketch out of what we're going to have as far as the college football season by the 15th of June. I think that makes the most sense. I think everybody will be kind of, a lot more states have been opened up by then. We'll see if the curve has flattened a little bit more. And we'll see how that works out. But I think that that's going to be the drop-dead date, in my opinion. That's not really a good term to use when you're talking about the coronavirus. The absolute date. That's what we'll go with. If you want to talk about the college football season a little bit and what you think is going to happen, my big, bold predictions is I don't know how Notre Dame is going to have a season. We may have a college football season without the University of Notre Dame. I don't know how they're going to get scheduled with teams. I don't know how that's going to happen. That's thing number one. Thing number two is I think it's going to be a setup where it's going to be 10 conference games. And I think that the ripple effect from that is going to be absurd. And what I mean by that is that a lot of times you'll have a team like, let's use in-state teams, Furman, Coastal, Wofford, South Carolina State, teams like that where they come to Columbia or they come to Clemson, and it's basically Coach Buddy Pough at one point called them character games. They go up there and they're expected to just be a non-conference opponent for South Carolina and Clemson. They basically get popped and then they go home. But they take home with them a huge check that basically funds their athletic program for the year, basically. So if we're not going to have that, then guess what? A lot of those programs are probably going to go into some serious hard times on the financial front. Dusty Rhodes hard times, ladies and gentlemen. They get the fake gold watch, a kick in the butt, and tell them to get out. That's basically what it's going to boil down to. So I think that's thing number, number two. And number three is the effect that it's going to have on women's sports. Why? Why women's sports, Rob? Because a lot of women's sports are funded with a lot of what the football programs bring in. And if the revenue's not there, they're just not going to have the money. If you want to talk about any of those thoughts, 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832 is the number to call. If you want to join us on the rundown this afternoon, you're listening to Fox Sports Radio 1400. Welcome back to the rundown. Appreciate the folks watching on Facebook Live this afternoon. Find the show on Facebook. at The Rundown with Rob Sanders. Positive Mike says he's live from the beach saying, you know what to do, COVID. I think he's trying to drown the COVID. Why not? I know the Positive Mike will be watching Darlington on Saturday. NASCAR returns from the video game iRacing, which, you know, some people kind of got into that, but that really wasn't my thing. I with NASCAR, man, I mean, it's pretty cool. But, I mean, I think it's better, by the way, if you're there. It's like hockey, in my opinion. If you're going to go watch a hockey game in person, you'll appreciate it more than if it's set up where you can go and see it live. Just got a text message from Lawton Swan of Clemson Sports Talk. He is the czar of Clemson sports. Apparently, there is no internet in Lexington, and he cannot do his show. So he just sent me another message. We'll just do this in real time because that's how radio works. No show for me. Good news, internet is getting back on in the neighborhood. Lawton's probably just running around with his iPad hoping to catch somebody's internet signal, by the way. Wouldn't surprise me. Lawton Swan is the czar of Clemson Sports, though. You should check him out on the Clemson Sports Talk radio network because he's big enough that he's all over the state. Yes. That is Lawton Swan. Check out his website, ClemsonSportsTalk.com. ClemsonSportsTalk.com. And I got to get his schedule, man. This guy only works like, you know, 3 days a week. That's where he's at this week. They set him up a studio at home. This guy's got his own studio set up at home, and he can't get into his home studio and do a show. Nah, we're just picking at Lawton, man. Lawton does a great show. And Lawton is a friend of the program. We appreciate him. Check out his website, ClemsonSportsTalk.com. By the way, I wanted to get into this real quick here with NASCAR. You know, I think it's going to be weird to see. I think NASCAR is the only sport, by the way, that can get away without having fans in the stands. I mean, you see the fans in the stands when you go watch a normal race. But let's be honest, I don't think that that's going to take away much from the NASCAR experience if you're watching at home. So I think if you watch the race at Darlington, other than hearing people talk about the COVID, you're not going to have to deal with a lot of COVID. I know that sounds kind of a weird way to put it. But I thought I'd give you today some of my DraftKings picks. I like Denny Hamlin. He's one of three drivers locked into the playoffs by virtue of his win at Daytona to kick off the season. So his last five races at Darlington, his average finish is about ninth, and that's with a 29th place finish last year. So I think Hamlin's going to have a strong race. Brad Keselowski is another guy that you can build your lineup around. He won the race in 2018, has four top tens over the last five races at Darlington. His average finish is at about sixth. Kurt Busch is at 8,500. You know, that's a name that doesn't really normally jump off the charts at you, but I think he's one of the best at adapting to change. And with that, with his DraftKings dollar at middle of the road there, might be a good pickup for you. Erik Jones, you know, this is the guy that's the defending winner of the race. I kind of like the idea that guys can just go to Darlington and do their thing. But he has the opportunity, I think, to kind of make his name a little bit brighter in the NASCAR world. Other value plays include Ryan Newman makes his return to the track on Sunday. You know, he says he's feeling great, and I think it'll be just a great story for Newman, by the way. And I like Austin Dillon. I think he'll be good as well as Tyler Reddick. So it depends on a lot where how they start off in the race. Couple of other guys that could be good picks include Ryan Preece and Christopher Bell. Positive Mike Online says, why a Sunday afternoon? NASCAR screws it up again. Saturday night would be better for viewing numbers. I think it comes down to TV, Positive Mike. Just my opinion on that. I think that they normally have the races on Saturday afternoons. Maybe they do them on Saturday nights too. You're right about that. But I think people are going to be locked in regardless. I also think that the UFC Saturday night card may have had a little bit to do with that too. Why have it where you're going to compete with another, you know, the only other show in town? That doesn't make any sense. Put your race in a spot where it's just by itself. That's kind of the way to go, in my opinion. So, are you jacked for the NASCAR race? Which race, what are you looking forward to the most? Are you looking forward to NASCAR, or are you looking forward to the UFC fights? The best part is that you can watch both. You can watch both. I don't think this UFC card is like the better card, which, by the way, Wednesday night's card was pretty good. The main event in that fight was outstanding, where the referee, I was kind of questioning the referee because you thought he could have stopped the fight, and it got to the point where the fighter that won was actually talking to the fighter as he was pummeling him, saying, "Sorry about this, dude, but it's part of the game," as he's bashing his face in. The UFC, by the way, I kind of miss the fans in those fights because you can see these guys just wailing on each other. You can hear it, and you can hear the breathing and everything else, and it's just tough. Tough, 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 in my opinion. All right, so we'll take calls on that as well at 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832. Joining me this afternoon in just a moment, Tyler Crowder, host of Kicking It with Crowder. We're going to talk about Todd Gurley and how he at one point was like considered the best back in the NFL, but now... And how he at one point was like considered the best back in the NFL. But now that you're 25 years old, get out. Nobody wants to deal with you anymore. I mean, seriously. You're done at 25 in the NFL is kind of the verbiage that they're putting out there. So we'll talk to Tyler about that. And of course, Tom Jones Friday. We'll have Tom Jones for you here after about 46 minutes after the hour. Enjoy yourself some Tom Jones as you get set for your ride home. The cool part about this weekend, though, is you got two sports events, three good of sporting things that are going to be out there this weekend. Of course, you've got the UFC fight, you've got the NASCAR race, and you've got the Jordan documentary on Sunday night. The final two episodes of that. So you can do all three and not have to, DVR or record anything. I tell you what's going to be funny is come if we have football in the fall and they try to squeeze everything back in, where we're going to have the weekend where we have the Masters and college football and baseball. I think that overrides into the baseball season too. You could have all three of those events going on at one time. We will not have enough time to get anything done on the rundown because it'll just be a sports overflow. And we'll be talking about, man, there's not enough time to do all of this. If I do that when that happens, feel free to come by the studio at 316 Greystone Boulevard and punch me in the face and remind me that back in May, we were talking about nothing. Because that's basically what we're doing. All right, when we come back, we'll have Tyler Crowder on the show, host of Kicking It with Crowder. You're listening to The Rundown. This is Fox Sports Radio 1400.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Welcome back to The Rundown. I am Rob Sanders. Thanks for joining me here on Fox Sports Radio 1400. Let's head out to the phones. And we'll welcome in, all the way over in Georgia, my buddy, Tyler Crowder, host of Kicking It with Crowder. Tyler, what is up, my friend?
Well, Rob, how you doing, man? Thanks for having me on this wonderful Friday.
It is a wonderful Friday. We're heading into the weekend. We've got one of the questions I have out there for the listeners. I'll ask you real quick here as someone is beeping at me. But the You have two major sporting events that are up this weekend with the UFC fight and the NASCAR race. Which one will you be watching?
Probably just because I don't want to spend any money. I'm going to go ahead and watch the NASCAR race, but I did watch the UFC. I did watch the UFC fight last week, the main card. It was really exciting. But I probably want to see how NASCAR does it. I've already seen kind of how UFC does it, so I kind of want to see NASCAR's take on the post-COVID-19 race.
Are you a NASCAR guy?
I'm really not. I liked Jeff Gordon a lot when I was younger. Since he retired, I really don't watch too much NASCAR. Now, of course, Daytona 500, Talladega, stuff like that I will watch. But I'm not a huge NASCAR guy, but, I mean, I definitely respect what they do.
It seems like we're going to have a lot more folks that are going to be watching NASCAR this weekend because, hey, it's the one thing that you're going to be able to watch.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, hey, one of the other things we were talking about earlier today was some of the greatest smack talk of all time. There was I was reading something about Scottie Pippen went up to Karl Malone in game one of the NBA Finals when he went to the line and said, remember, the mailman doesn't deliver on Sundays. What a great.
And he missed both of them.
Yeah, and he missed both of them. What a great, clean trash talk line, man. Is there one trash talk line you remember that kind of sticks out?
Man, I'm not really like just trash talk. When I think, like, I can't really think of just a quote off the top of my head, but two of the best that I can remember are Ric Flair, and then I love The Rock, too. Like, can you smell what The Rock is cooking?
Yeah.
That, I love that. Like, that, I mean, it's not really like an actual, like, you know, like a Scottie Pippen type story like that, but I just love The Rock and Ric Flair and those guys, what they brung to wrestling, and I don't think there's ever been a more interesting guy than Ric Flair. He's pretty cool.
Have you seen the new Dabo TikTok video?
I have not.
If you've
not seen it,
someone from our Facebook Live group asked me what I thought about it. I thought I would ask you. It is hokey. That's the only term that I could use, is just hokey. I know that Coach Sweeney is trying to do his best to relate to the young men, but wow. He's got some folks up there that can do some really good social media stuff. He should get with them when he's making his TikTok videos, but take the time to go and check that out.
After we get off the phone, I'll definitely check it out.
It's pretty interesting. Okay, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Todd Gurley. You know, the Dirk Cutter, the offensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons, came out and said they're still in a kind of a wait-and-see mode with this guy. I remember like a year ago, 2 years ago, he was considered the best running back in the NFL. Now it's like, get out of here, man. He's 25. And it's like they're writing his obituary for the league, man.
Yeah, and it's really just the arthritis. He does have some arthritis and things like that. But, you know, what he's been able to do the last couple of years, you know, he scored 10-plus touchdowns each of the last three seasons. He's also, like, second in rushing yards, like, second in touchdowns. I mean, he's up there for what he's done in the last 5 years. And, I mean, just 2 years ago, I mean, what he was able to bring to the Rams offense, he was the main reason they were able to have such a successful season. Of course, in the playoffs, he did kind of get hurt before the beginning of the season, I mean, before the playoffs, and he really wasn't himself in the playoffs, really hasn't been himself. I mean, you ask Todd Gurley, I mean, he ran for 800-plus yards last year, but, I mean, he's a 1,000-yard back. I think he expects that of himself, and I would not be surprised if Todd Gurley bounced back this year. If he's healthy, if he's on the field, I think you're going to see a rejuvenated, a hungry Todd Gurley coming with the Atlanta Falcons, and that could cause a lot of problems for a lot of teams in the NFC.
You know, he is on a one-year contract, and I mean, do you think he's the one player that's on a one-year contract that you can think of? The defensive lineman that left Atlanta, the former Clemson player whose name escapes my head.
Beasley
is also on a one-year contract with Tennessee. Who do you think has the better chance of bouncing back under that one-year deal?
I'm going to Todd Gurley just based off of his talent. You know, I think Todd Gurley is just a little bit more talented player at his position than Vic Beasley is at his. Nothing against Vic Beasley. You know, he did have a 15.5 sack season with Atlanta. He didn't do much in 17 and 18 and 19 after that. But in 16, he had 15.5 sacks. So Vic Beasley, I got to give him credit. But I'm going with Todd Gurley on this one just based off of just his talent alone. If he's healthy, he's a top five running back in this league.
Do you think that?
And he's only 25.
That's the thing. He's 25. I once again, he's 25 years old. Just wrap your head around that for a second. He hasn't been able to vote in two presidential elections yet. So that's, you know, that's one way to look at it. Do you think that Beasley was put into a position to fail in Atlanta because the defense that they have there was not exactly something that he could thrive in?
Yeah, I think it's 50. I think it's a 50-50 type thing. I think, you know, once you're in a system for that long and Dan Quinn, you know, Dan Quinn's supposed to be this defensive guy, and you know, you have that one big season that Vic Beasley had in his second year in the league. He was a finalist for Defensive Player of the Year award. I mean, the guy has talent, but what he's done the last couple years, and if you just watch Vic Beasley on film, the one knock on him coming into college, I mean, coming into the NFL from college, was that he took plays off at Clemson. I don't know if you can remember that at Clemson going in the draft, he took some plays off. And it turned out that when he got to Atlanta, let's just say he took some plays off as well. You can watch the tape. The tape doesn't lie. Vic Beasley, sometimes he, you know, if he's containing, he's in containment, which, you know, you're supposed to get outside the tackle, you know, make sure the running back doesn't get out there. You know, you watch out for the slip tight end. You know, he's just kind of standing there and just doing nothing, not even trying to get outside, not trying to cause pressure. I mean, not even trying. It doesn't even look like he's trying at times. So I think Vic Beasley has a lot of talent. I hope maybe a change of scenery will help him out. But, yeah, I think coaching had a lot to do with it. You know, just, you know, they knew what Vic Beasley was, and they knew what he was going to get them. And I think just Vic Beasley, you know, maybe his motor isn't as high as some others.
A couple more questions here with Tyler Crowder from Bill Online. He wants to know if you heard about Baker's armed robbery and will he make it through the day with the Giants? Do you think they're going to cut him and just move on, or you think they're going to work with him?
I, as serious as it sounded with the charges, I wouldn't be surprised if they just went ahead and went their separate ways. Similar to how the 49ers, finally had to cut Reuben Foster. Now, Reuben Foster had a couple more issues than DeAndre Baker. I will say that, but this is a very serious crime. And if you are an athlete making that type of money, what are you doing? I mean, I'm not gonna, you know, get on here and bash the guy. I just don't know what he was thinking. What are you doing, putting yourself in that type of position with how much money you are literally trying to lose just by putting yourself in that kind of situation? So I hope maybe, you know, there's some of the part of the story that we don't know yet. But DeAndre Baker, I got to watch him a lot when he was at University of Georgia. Came in, not a very, you know, he was like a three-star recruit out of Miami. You know, really turned into a shutdown corner, all SEC corner, first-round draft pick. So you just hate to see something like that. But sometimes, man, these players pass. They just can't get on from it, in a sense. And that's why some people fall in the draft. Reuben Foster, he's a top five prospect a couple years ago. He dropped to the late 20s. DeAndre Baker was supposed to be one of the top corners off the board last year and went late first round. So maybe it was some background stuff.
And my final thing for you, I want to pivot back to Vic Beasley for a moment. Do you think that Vrabel can motivate Beasley to possibly get back to being one of the top defensive ends in the NFL? And I say that because it seems like Vrabel is that defense, has that defensive mentality, and he might be able to weigh on him a little bit and maybe motivate him to not take plays off.
Yeah, he has a pedigree. You know, he has that defensive pedigree. He's a Pro Bowl type player, won Super Bowl championships with the Patriots. So that I know players have more respect for guys who have done it than guys who have just coached it. I know that for a fact. That's if you are out there, you're a player and you're in the trenches, you're in the locker room and stuff like that, and you end up being a coach, players kind of understand and see where you're coming from a little bit more than maybe a Dan Quinn who played, you know, Division II, Division III football and then, you know, started coaching and stuff like that. So that could be I could really see Mike Vrabel getting the most out of Vic Beasley. And that's another thing. Is Vic Beasley a tight end in this Tennessee system, or is he going to play outside linebacker? Because that's what the Falcons had him at, outside linebacker. But, I mean, he's more of just an edge rusher. He's not a guy who can, you know, drop back and cover running backs and things like that. I mean, he can. But, you know, I think if you're Tennessee, you know, if you can get 8 sacks out of Vic Beasley this year, 8 to 10 sacks out of Vic Beasley, I think they'll take that.
Tyler Crowder joining us on the phone today. Tyler, tell folks how they can find you on Twitter and where they can find your podcast.
Yeah, man. So I am on Spotify, Apple, and the iHeartRadio app. All you have to do is type in Kicking It with Crowder, and that is with a G at the end of Kicking It. And then on Twitter, I'm at Kick It with Crow. Got a lot of good content on there. A lot of other sports, you know, people on there as well that I interact with as well. So a lot of good stuff going on both those pages, guys. And thank you all so much for having me today.
All right, Tyler, man, make sure you keep that that hair in good shape, brother. All right?
Oh, I am trying, man. You should have seen about 10 years ago. This is nothing. I used to have the flow.
Oh, goodness.
I used to have the flow.
I wish I had hair like that. Hey, man, thanks for joining us today, all right?
Hey, thank you, Rob. Anytime, man. Thank you.
All right, Tyler Crowder, host of Kicking It with Crowder, joining us. They talk a little NFL, talk a little Vic Beasley. Yeah, there's still a big free agent out there, too, with Jadeveon Clowney. I wonder where he's going to end up. Wouldn't it be interesting if Tennessee was able to pull it off and have Clowney on one side and Beasley on the other? Look out. More of the Rundown in just a moment. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio 1400. Welcome back to the Rundown, a Friday tradition. It's Tom Jones. Enjoy it as you get set for your ride home.
It's not unusual, you want to be loved by anyone. It's not unusual, you want to have fun with anyone. But when I see you hanging about with anyone, it's not unusual, you want to see me cry.
Tom Jones, a Friday tradition here on the Rundown. We'll take calls at 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832. A couple of stories that have come out that I wanted to share with you this afternoon that are some big NFL notes. One of them being that Jadeveon Clowney, we were just talking about him, and a guy that needs a team right now. And according to a couple of reports from Twitter, the Eagles are out. They don't want Jadeveon Clowney up there. And I think it has more to do with the fact that the Eagles are big time over the cap and they don't want to add the big salary. But as we go on, you know, the adage from a lot of folks are Clowney's just not in a hurry to sign. Well, he needs to get into a hurry to sign. Otherwise, he's going to end up on a team that he doesn't want to play for. Or he's going to end up getting having to take a bargain basement rate that he doesn't want. So we'll see where Clowney ends up. And if he's healthy, he's one of the best defensive ends in football. There's no question about that. Or linebackers or whatever, pass rushers. Let's go with that. Okay? He's a guy that can take over a game on the defensive end. But if he's not, then, you know, he can be a waste of a huge salary cap portion or a huge portion of your salary cap with the money that he wants right now. So if you want to call and respond to that where the Eagles are out of the mix to get Jadeveon Clowney. Also, this just came in from Jim Trotter with this guy worked for ESPN, SI. He also works for the NFL Network. NFL owners will vote next week on a resolution that would improve a team's draft position if it hires a person of color as a head coach or general manager, per sources. Currently, there are only 2 black GMs and 4 head coaches of color, matching a 17-year low. That tweet is from Jim Trotter from the NFL Network. I'm one of the people that I think that if you can coach or you can be a GM that can get the job done, I think that you should be able to get a job. I think if you're a guy, like, if you look back at, I mean, there hasn't been a long list of coaches of color, but I can think of several guys that have done great. Denny Green was great. Tony Dungy was great. These are guys that could lead men, and that's what you want on that front. Now, as far as general managers go, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I know about different who runs the general manager for some teams. I remember Marty Herney Hurley, whatever his name was, for up at with the Panthers, just because, you know, I read a lot of Panther stuff, but I couldn't tell you who the general manager is for the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Green Bay Packers, for that matter, which is my favorite team. I just don't. I understand that those jobs are there, and there should be. It should come down to, are you capable of doing a good job? And it shouldn't matter what color you are. Shouldn't matter. But I'm also in the camp of, if you can get one more win out of a coach, any coach, you're going to take that coach. Simple as that. If you want to respond to that, 803-978-1832. I don't like the idea of, hey, we're going to improve where you are in the draft, your draft position, because of hires that you make as far as your head coach and your general manager. I don't get that at all. I don't think that's something that... I think you're going to have a lot of guys or a lot of teams that may put somebody into a job just to get that draft pick or the leniency in the draft. I think that'll happen. That's just tough, in my opinion. Crazy. Crazy stuff there coming from the NFL. Jim Trotter from the NFL Network has that out there, and I wholeheartedly disagree with that. 803-978-1832, 803-978-1832 is the number to call. If you want to join us here on The Rundown this afternoon, be sure to like the page on Facebook. You can watch the show live just like you're watching TV on Facebook. Look for The Rundown with Rob Sanders. You can also follow me on Twitter. I am at Rob Sounds Good. Appreciate the folks that are following me on Twitter. I'll be tweeting out throughout the weekend. Real quick here, I've got my UFC picks really quick here. I'm going to bring those up. And, oh, yep, let me make sure I give you these really quick before we get out of here. As we move along here, Marlon Vega and Song Yadong are matching up. You know, Vega has a 5-fight winning streak. Vera has a 5-fight winning streak. Look for him to continue that in that matchup tomorrow. I also like, in the main event, it's like a dual main event, Angela Hill and Claudia Gadelha. I think Hill is the hard worker here, but I think Gadelha is going to pick up the win. And Alistair Overeem and Walter Harris, I think that fight will finish up in before the second round ends. So look for a knockout before the second round ends, middle of the second round. Thanks for joining us. No Clemson Sports Talk today. He'll be back on Monday, as will I. Teddy Hefner's back on Monday at 9. This is Fox Sports Radio 1400.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.